again, everyone. This is Caroline. Today I'd like to continue with my series of podcasts from our holiday in Scotland in June. You may remember that on the first podcast, we were enjoying the sights of Edinburgh on an open-topped bus. Well, today we're going to continue with the transport theme, but at a slightly more leisurely pace, because we're going to go for a trip on a rotating boat lift. If you think this sounds rather unusual, then you'd be right, because in fact it's the only one of its kind anywhere in the world. It's called the Falkirk Wheel, and is about an hour's drive from Edinburgh in the centre of Scotland. It was built as part of a millennium project to link two of Scotland's major canals together. In years gone by, if a boat wanted to travel from one canal to the other, it had to negotiate a series of 11 locks, because there was a height difference of 115 feet between the two canals. This could take nearly all day, but now, thanks to the Falkirk Wheel, the same thing can be accomplished in just around half an hour. The music on this podcast is again taken from Mike Oldfield's CD Voyager, and is the title track, which, if you use a little bit of imagination, is quite appropriate. Our guide Ian will tell us a lot of the details about how the wheel was constructed, how much power it takes to operate, and later on about the cost involved. I'll be back in about 20 minutes or so to fill you in on a few more details, but sit back and enjoy the trip.
It's nearly 10 past 11, so we should be setting off in a minute or two. Oh, and as I speak, the door closes. This is the Archimedes ready to take us on a trip on the Falkirk Wheel. We're not quite sure how it works, but it links two canals, the Forth and Clyde and the Union Canals. And it used to take a day for ships to get from one canal to the other because of the difference in height between the two. They had to pass through a series of 11 locks. That necessity has now been removed with the construction of this wheel, which was a millennium project. And we're about to find out how the wheel actually works. We think the boat will sail onto a kind of platform, and then the platform will lift us up to the other level, but that remains to be seen. It's quite a big boat we're on.
How many people will be on here, do you think?
How many people do you think will be on here?
100?
40 of us.
Probably 100. Oh, maybe more than 100 then. Certainly a bigger boat than I was expecting.
Yes, that would have been quite a small, lots of small ones.
Now I suppose if it has to take canal boats, they can be quite large.
Probably get along for 100.
Yeah, maybe. Hope this recording will work with the noise of the boat.
Sitting here with the sun beating through the window. What?
Going
underneath inside, underneath this.
Underneath what?
The behind us.
That's all right. I hope not. Must have got into position. Ready for the ascent.
How quickly it'll go up, if you can tell you're going up. On that London Eye, you can't really tell that you're moving.
No. It's a similar principle to the London Eye, I suppose. Except instead of being in a little pod, you're on a platform.
Is it only for 5 years, the London Eye?
It's been up 6 already, so...
Wasn't it limited, though, when they built it?
I think there was a limited lifespan, so I don't know what it was. Yeah.
Good to see some of you are awake at least. That's a start. Yeah, welcome to the Falkirk Wheel. Welcome aboard the Archimedes. My name's Ian and I'm going to be your skipper for this morning's trip. The gentleman behind you there is Stuart. Hi, Stuart.
Hi, Stuart.
Stuart's also one of our senior skippers, very experienced, but he's going to crew for me today. Young lady beside him is Laura. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
So, if anything happens to me, Stuart automatically takes over. Don't laugh. If anything happens to Stuart, you're on your own. Just bring the keys back when you're finished.
No one knows how to sail the boat.
Now, before we go anywhere, we are obliged by law to give you a safety announcement. It's nothing to worry about. I mean, don't be panicked in any way, says the guy with a life jacket on. In the unlikely event of an accident or an emergency situation arising, Stuart, Laura and myself will be first off the boat.
Typical.
To help you guys, obviously.
Yeah.
What we'll do is we'll bring the vessel very quickly and very safely alongside whichever side of the canal is most appropriate at that time. We'll tie it up, make it secure, and we'll try and find out what the problem is. We'll try and fix the problem. Now, if it can't be fixed and we think it's necessary, you'll be asked to evacuate the vessel. All right. Now the exits, they're clearly mapped. We've got one at the front here. I then suggest you go either left or right. Don't go straight ahead. Because the first step's a killer. Right. We've got two in the middle. The door you came on, one directly opposite. Two at the back. Again, one to the left, one to the right. One further exit through the door marked emergency exit, crew access only. Mine. Now the only thing that you guys really have to do is remember which side of the canal we have tied up to. Technical term for it is the dry side. That's the side we prefer you to exit from.
If at all possible.
It's easier to count 73 heads at the side there than it is bobbing up and down in the water. Alright. That's about it, really. Just take your instructions from myself and the crew at all times, and we'll make sure everything's okay for you. We'll look after you. Alright?
Thank you.
So sit back, relax, enjoy the trip. If you get any questions during the trip, keep them to yourself. It's been been a long week.
And it's only Tuesday.
I know it's only Tuesday. That's how long it's been. I'll try my best to answer any questions you've got. If I don't know the answers, I'll try and find out for you. And if that fails, I'll revert back to what I do best, and that's make it up as I go along. Yes, sir?
Could you repeat it all in English, please?
Sure. I meant the book to 72 passengers. Just get on.
Was that one of ours? It sounded like it.
Get one in every trap, don't worry. Questions like, why am I wearing a life jacket and you're not? Because of questions like that. The simple answer is, we work for British Waterways. And it's British Waterways policy that all employees who work on or close to the water must wear them. It doesn't say anything in the rule books about you guys. Because we can always get new passengers. There is indeed, sir, yeah. Yeah.
We've already climbed, haven't
we? Well, as you can see, we're now well on our way. And we've travelled in the forward direction. Yeah, I know it looks like we've gone to the side, but this has been deemed forward. If we were going towards the visitor centre, that would be reverse. But there is no set pattern for the rotation. In fact, once upon a time, we used to say we could swing both ways. I'll let that one ruffle about a wee while, yeah. We're not allowed to say that anymore. Nowadays, we rotate in either direction. Apparently, it wasn't PC.
It's hard to be in it, can you?
Now, we're turning somewhere in the region of 1,800 tonnes total weight.
That's the 100 elephants.
There's 300 tonnes in each gondola. And regardless of how many vessels we've got on the gondola, or how many passengers we've got on those vessels, we will always have 300 tonnes. Why? We just have. Alright. It's based on Archimedes' principle of displacement. A lot of blank looking faces there. In simple terms, all we're doing is replacing a volume of water with the weight of the boat. Now this boat weighs 56 tonnes. And as we sail into the gondola, we're pushing 56 tonnes of water behind us. And once the gates come up, the 300 tonnes is there, regardless. So we could have one vessel in here, nothing in the other side, but we would still be perfectly balanced. And the power that we've used to do the rotation is 18 kilowatts. One kilowatt for every 100 tonnes being turned. Now 18 kilowatts isn't a great deal of power.
No.
It's roughly the same as using two electric showers. I'll put it another way. Do you remember the science programme Tomorrow's World?
Yes.
Yeah. The 3 months after we first opened, the camera crews came up and they did a programme from here. You may have seen it. They actually rigged up 10 domestic toasters. Now, whether those toasters were 2, 4, or 6 lines, I don't know. I don't know whether it was brown bread or white bread. I don't know what happened to the toast afterwards. What we do know is, though, those toasters actually drew more power than we used to turn the wheel. It's a fact. And that power is then transferred to the hydraulics. It's then the hydraulics that drive us around. We've got 10 hydraulic motors that are housed in the centre column behind the centre cog. A few weeks ago, somebody asked me a question. It was quite a good one. I'd never heard it before. What happens when there's a power failure? The simple answer is we get stuck. We do have a backup generator that would create the power to get us back to vertical position. After 50 seconds of a power failure, generator kicks in, drives us round. The next question was even better. What happens if that fails? Yeah, that's person I feel of. If that fails, the head engineer comes in. He climbs 5 flights of stairs in the centre column, opens the door into the centre tube. In the centre tube is the biggest box of hamsters you've ever seen. Only problem is, they're British Waterways Management hamsters. And trying to get them running the same way at the same time is a bit of a challenge. I meant to do this bit at the start, I keep forgetting. You do this bit at the start of the trip, not halfway through. Is anybody scared of heights? Or water, or boats, or a combination of all three? If you are scared of heights and you don't want to admit it, you've come up 35 metres. Everybody else has come up 115 feet, though. It's better, isn't it? Yeah. It would have been higher. The original plan was to build the wheel 150 feet high and join right onto the Union Canal. But we hit a problem. Well, we hit 3 problems, really. If you look towards the end of the aqueduct, you can see a tunnel. Above the tunnel, on the tree line, is the Antonine Wall, which is an ancient Roman fortress. Built around about 142 AD. Nearly 2,000 years ago. Because it's Roman, very historic, Historic Scotland said we couldn't build over it. Another problem we had, actually, is the main Glasgow to Edinburgh express railway line. ScotRail didn't want us building over that either.
I bet they didn't.
Well, their excuse was it was bad enough with leaves on the track. How would they explain water and boats? There's also a road that runs between Falkirk and the town of Bonnybridge over on the right hand side there. Now, Bonnybridge actually has 2 claims to fame. It's got the most lottery winners per head of population. Well, £10 winners, no jackpots. I'm not that lucky. And it's also Scotland's UFO capital.
Yeah.
Well, most of the sightings are on a Friday and Saturday night after the pubs close right now. And you do see the occasional alien walking about, but that's another story. Right. The gates have gone down, we've got a green light. We're now going to go along the aqueduct, through the tunnel, turn out the south side, and come back again. That's my plan, anyway. But before I go, I need to draw your attention to the end of the aqueduct where it narrows in slightly. It's what we call the pinch point. It's 12 foot 6 wide. This boat's 12 foot 4. Might be 12 foot 3 when we come back. But just to reassure you, I will be aiming for the middle. Alright. Here goes.
Take a day to accomplish, we've done in about 10 minutes.
Yes.
Risen 115 feet.
Yes. So we were just up in the air? Just hanging in mid air?
No. We're on the water still.
We're on the water at the bottom, on the water at the top. Together. So while we were climbing, we weren't on the water. We were on this platform thing that was linking 2 lots of water together.
Yes, so we were just, the platform was just in mid-air, really.
But the platform holds these 300 tons, so we would still be on water, but it wouldn't be.
Yeah, sailing along the canal now.
So the platform would have had water on it, but just to make up the weight.
Yes.
Difference. The Archimedes principle. Now you know why this boat is called Archimedes, which wasn't immediately obvious to us when we got on board.
Clever, isn't it? It all balances. Yeah.
more from Glasgow to Edinburgh than it used to be, because it's to encourage the use of the water as a means of transport rather than using the road all the time.
At this point we had to sail on for about 5 minutes or so before we reached a convenient place to turn around and head back for the downward journey. I switched off my Olympus, and for some inexplicable reason, didn't switch it on again for the second part of the trip. Fortunately, though, my sister has a similar model, and although she's not interested in podcasting in particular, she was recording just to see how well it would turn out. She doesn't have an external microphone, so the quality of this part of the recording is unfortunately not quite as good as the first half. But Ian does give us some details about the cost of the wheel and answers some questions from various people on the boat. If you have any questions or comments, then please do feel free to contact me. I'm on the BCT mailing list, but if you have my private email address, then please feel free to use that. I will be back with a third podcast from Scotland, the final one in the series, where we visit an ancient Scottish castle. But for now, this is Caroline signing off and leaving you for the trip back down the Falkirk Wheel.
I've been told the gates at the end there, they can take an impact of 20 tonnes at 4 miles per hour. Bearing in mind, this boat weighs 56 tonnes. 10. Nobody's ever hit the gates, and I ain't going to be the first. I promise. There's, when the gate goes down into the recess at the end, something's been caught. There is a lot of debris gets brought down. No. Well, that was what the engineer told me to say. Yeah. Yeah, there is debris. Sometimes it's caught on the underside of the bottom of the recess. There's a hole in it's really difficult to gauge it on a daily basis. Over the 4 years that we've been open, there's roughly 3,000 vessels gone through. That doesn't sound a lot, but that's 3,000 more vessels using the waterways now than there were 6 years ago. Yeah, the canals have been closed for nearly 40 years.
Oh.
So even one vessel coming through is a 100% increase. I worked that one out myself. Quite clever, eh?
Do the boats get charged coming through?
Typical one,
isn't it? A lot of money.
No, they don't actually. There is no direct toll charge to use the wheel. But to use the waterways, you need a license for your vessel. Unless you've paid the license fee, it's all included. Yeah. That's because we're nice and generous here in Scotland, you see.
That's
been very unusual. See, it's an old myth that copper wire was invented by two Scotsmen fighting for a penny. It was a half penny. Yeah, there's no direct charge, no toll charge. Right, where do we get to? Should have been 150 feet high, yeah. Roads, railways, two locks on the other side of the tunnel, the only two locks on the Union Canal. The Union Canal is what we call a contour canal. It stays in the same level and follows a 240 foot contour line from here right into the heart of Edinburgh, roughly 32 miles. It stops at a place called Fountain Bridge, which is just behind the old Scottish and Newcastle Brewery. So at least the canal builders got that bit right. Yeah. Now, if you look out to the right hand side, up in the trees at the top there, you can see the tops of two apartment blocks. The one on the left hand side, the one that's got the antenna on the top of it. Well, three windows down four, that is my granny's house. Was it worth standing up for? Remember the first time she moved in? She said, Ian, I don't like this place. I said, what's wrong with it? She said, it's too small and there's no windows. I said, Gran, this is the lift. The reason I mention those apartments, they're actually built on the original line of the old locks that once joined the two canals together. There was a series of 11 locks, and that could take anything between 6 and 10 hours to go from one canal to the other. Full day's work. We can now do the same height and same distance in just over 1 hour. Well, we don't lose any water. As you saw, we brought the water up with us. We're bringing it back down again. Now, every time you do a conventional locking, you lose the water from the lock chamber and it has to be replaced. Mind you, Scotland being Scotland, there's no shortage of water. It does rain from time to time. Like 3 months at a time. We've got a hose pipe, man. Any questions? No? Came all this way and there's no questions. Well, this section is actually what we call the Falkirk Interchange. From the lock chamber at the bottom there to the two locks at the top is the Falkirk Interchange. From the two lock chambers east is the Union Canal.
What's the person
place? Right in front of you. That's it there, yeah.
This is the interchange that links the
Falkirk. Yes, it does. Yeah. Yeah. The Forth and Clyde Canal was actually the world's first coast-to-coast shipping canal. Yeah. It allowed vessels access from the east coast to the west coast without having to go right up around the north of Scotland. Now it'd take about a week to go right through there. Yeah. We can now go from east coast to west coast just under 2 days, just, and that's also a lot safer. A lot safer. Yeah. How much did it cost? $84.5 million. Yeah. That doesn't sound a lot of money, but that was the regeneration program for the Forth and Clyde Canal and the Union Canal and building the wheel. And for £84.5 million. We did 68 miles of dredging. Then I lost out roughly 300,000 tonnes of debris taken out of the canals. England. We've got enough rubbish up here as it is. Most of it went to landfill site. However, there was some serious contamination. On the Union Canal, there used to be a munitions factory. Some mercury spilled into the water, so we had to dispose of that separately. Now we took out something like 17,500 shopping trolleys. And we gave them back to the supermarkets, not like that. We also found World War II bombs. Yeah. British World War II bombs.
Off target.
Yeah. But during the Second World War, we used the Forth and Clyde Canal to transport munitions from east coast to west coast. And I reckon that one of the cases split open. Some of the shells actually dropped into the canal. Rather than fish them out, they left them there. 45, or nearly 55 years later, we found them. We'd been kicking it about like a football for about a fortnight. And then somebody thought, well, you better not kick it too hard.
Just in case.
Yeah. So we called the bomb squad. And they said, right, get everybody 50 metres away from it. Yeah. They then asked, does it have a round nose or a pointed nose? So that's quite a pointed nose, really.
300 metres. What a bang.
Oh, still after all that time.
22 months.
22 months
build time. But planning and development, you look at 10 years. Mm. The actual structure itself was 22 months.
Quick. Yes.
Designed by British Waterways, Arup Construction, Bakisol and Tash, and a company called RMJM. RMJM are also the architectural consultants for the Scottish Parliament building. Unlike the Parliament building, well, we actually finished their project 6 months ahead of schedule. And we were bang on financial target as well. So, yeah. Just as a matter of interest, how much did the dome cost? It doesn't work, correct? Did it ever?
Why everybody has a go.
We also did 68 miles of towpath upgrade. Towpaths have been, as I said, canals closed for nearly 40 years. Towpaths were non-existent. We had to reinstate them all. 42 locks built or renovated. 25 new sets of lock gates. 26 sandstone bridges restored. 10 new footbridges were built. 9 moving bridges recommissioned. 9.5 kilometres of new canal was cut. 2 new aqueducts were built, and a new tunnel. And the field, the visitor centre, the basin, and this whole site, all for £84.5 million. It's nice to see what the bigger picture is. What we got for the money was a bargain, really.
Does it, many commercial traffic
barges use it? Not at the moment. The biggest percentage of the vessels that are using the waterways are private vessels or the leisure craft. However, within the next 2 to 3 years, commercial vessels will start to use the waterways. It will happen. There's a company who want to recycle old refrigerators and old freezers. And there is a recycling plant going to be built on the banks of the Forth and Clyde Canal. It will happen, and they will be transported by waterway. So it is going to happen. And if commercialism and tourism can work hand in hand in other waterways, then there's no reason why we can't do it here either. That is the way to go. It was, yeah. And the thing is, the wheel was never ever intended to be a tourist attraction.
Really?
Yeah. Its primary function was always to allow vessels access from one canal to the other. But when you build the only one in the world, it very quickly becomes a tourist attraction.
Yes.
Yeah. And so far, we've had roughly 1.5 million visitors on site. Right, the gates have gone down, we've got another green light. We're going to take you back out onto the boardwalk. Before I go, on behalf of myself, Laura, Stuart, and everyone at the Falkirk Wheel and British Waterways Scotland, I'd like to thank you all for coming this morning. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, and I hope you enjoyed your trip on the wheel. Thank you.